It's headline news at the moment that we all eat too much sugar. Sugar is meddling with our happiness, our skin, our body, and our minds. If you think about it, we really are what we eat. Today, I have two experts in the fields of psychology and nutrition. They're Katrina Love, the mindset coach, and Natasha Hodge, a nutritionist. And they're going to tell us today how to eat well and feed our brain to improve our mood and happiness. So, Katrina and Natasha, hi! Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi!
Thank you for having me back.
Thanks so much, Josephine. Great to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure. So I'll start with you, Natasha. Let's hear your story. How did you become a nutritionist?
Very convoluted route, I would say. I did loads of different careers before happening upon nutrition. I mean, although food has actually been a really major part, especially as the fact that I was the world's fussiest eater. I mean, to the point of, if I went to anybody's house, the only things I would eat was burnt sausages. Burnt.
God.
They'd have to be burnt.
God.
I couldn't walk into a room without...
And how old was this? What age?
Probably from about, you know, 5 to about 15.
That's
literally
when your taste buds change, yeah.
Absolutely worried all the time about having to eat somewhere that I didn't know, wasn't familiar with.
God. So all your worries went on food?
Absolutely. Plus, I mean, I was an overweight child. I had eczema. I mean, really serious eczema, you know, to the point of tar bandages and all that sort of stuff when I was very young. Allergies, all sorts of terrible things.
Do you think it's because you're eating sausages only?
100%. It was what I was eating.
Yeah.
But you don't know that.
And your mum didn't know?
No.
Because nutrition wasn't taught to that then.
70s and 80s child, you know, it was all about technological advances in ready meals and...
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, at school you'd eat stuff and it was literally just burgers and chips.
Exactly.
Home-cooked stuff had gone out the window.
Yeah.
Had a brush with a sort of homeopath when I was about 17 because I was so covered in eczema and very overweight. And that really should have been my turning point.
Yes.
Definitely. You know, I dropped the weight. I cleared my skin.
What were you eating then?
Pretty much. Everything was unprocessed.
Okay.
So it was properly back to basics.
Yeah.
You know, from scratch cooking. And that's when my taste buds really kicked back in. And it was like... Oh, I will eat a Dover sole or a
tomato.
Seriously, it was all vegetables and it was everything.
So
was...
that set you up well, and then what happened?
Well, and then it literally just went to pot. I went to university.
Yeah, so you started living off toast and pasta.
Absolutely, it was all back. I literally forgot everything, and it just never occurred to me
and
that
did you
I
still
would
have
need
the
to.
Eczema?
Yeah, it came back. The weight came back. The eczema came back. I then went to work. I did costume for film and television.
Fabulous.
It was. It was
really
a great,
great job.
Great job. Mm. That was in London. Mm. And then I was doing the slimming clubs and losing weight that way.
So but how big were you at your biggest?
I was probably, I'm 5'4", so I was about 12 and a half stone when I got to work. You know, and I was, you know,
that's
young
a, that's
still.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I was about 12 and a half stone. So I did, you know, your slimming worlds and all that sort of stuff. Dropped all the weight. But I kept thinking, why does it not stay off?
Okay.
You know, why does it not stay off? There is something not quite right here.
Yeah, because people always, I mean, that's what slimming clubs have. They make their money because people lose it and put it back on again.
Absolutely. Mm. But it didn't make sense that that was... You know, all the advice we get is to eat less and move more.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, always on the go. It was a very manual job.
What about going to the gym and things?
We just didn't need to. I was carrying heavy costumes for, you know, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Travelling, commuting, obviously eating what I liked. I met my husband there.
Also, the problem is film sets. I know what it's like. Bacon butty in the morning.
Well, this was more sort of warehouse based. So you were sort of... I didn't do the filming so much.
Yeah.
But going from, you know... so you'd go to the slimming club and then and then you'd give it up and then eat again exactly how you did before. So everything, you know, then I relocated. So my husband and I, we had twins and we moved to the countryside. So that's how we ended up in Suffolk. And then we owned a shop. So and again, it was very,
What did your shop sell?
It was a general stores, butchers and post office.
Wow, so again, really busy. Really major. And you're bringing up two twins at
Wow. Yeah, so they're tiny.
Yeah.
It was like a 90-hour week.
Yeah, I bet.
Can you imagine what it was like owning a shop that was basically like a big sweetie cupboard?
Do you like sweets?
Oh, big time. Right. I'd always been a major freak for sweets.
Wow. What sweets in particular? Come on, share it with us.
It's something like, you know, your Haribo. So we'd go to Booker, you know, like a cash and carry, and you'd buy the things that you liked. So we'd have a big old mix-up bag every night.
Oh, no. So it wasn't like drink was your problem. No. Literally, you're a sugar addict.
Absolute. Yeah. God, 100%. Loved sugar. And that's... that's really how I self-medicated, definitely. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't really go out because it was such a full-on job.
Yeah.
So, of course, you just got...
you just got fatter and fatter.
Fatter and just not well.
Yeah, how did you feel in yourself?
Yeah, just negative. That's how I felt. I felt so negative.
What, you didn't like yourself?
Didn't like myself, but I didn't like the job for a start. I hated being where we were. We were sort of stuck. It sort of...
everything felt stuck.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. So then you've got this sort of negative outlook, and then everything else is negative, isn't it? That's what you're attracting.
So you'd feel unhappy, so you go, oh, God, I'm going to have another another bag of, what are they called? Bears.
Strawberry jellies or something like that. Absolutely. Yeah. So then when we sold...
and so did you... sorry, I just want to talk about... while you were eating it, were you happy? And was it afterwards that awful guilt kicked in?
To be honest, I don't think I was even that aware.
Wow.
No. It certainly wasn't like a, oh, I wish I hadn't eaten that. No, it was just a way of life.
Cool.
And then we had to diversify because we did struggle in that business. And we ended up with a coffee shop. So now I had four businesses in one.
What?
Got a coffee shop. So it was like a 4:30 start in the morning. And I'd make all the cakes and all the, you know, all the
food. So did you have to try them?
Yeah, we ate everything, you know. Wow. Doorstep sandwiches, all that sort of thing. Mm. But that's when my mindset changed.
And what was the turning point? There must have been something that happened.
Because it was mine. It felt like mine.
What, your company?
Yeah. Mm. We'd taken it over as, you know, we'd bought it as a going concern. But once the coffee shop kicked in and I was creating things and, you know, then that sort of positivity came and I was like, I actually really quite enjoyed working now.
Because you were self-employed, totally. This is your dream, the shop.
Yeah.
You're creative, actually.
That's it. Mm. And actually, my creativity had been stifled all that time. Mm. So we had the shop for 7 years, but it was only the last year that we had the coffee shop. So, so I'd done all this food and cooking and, you know, food was definitely central to everything. And then somebody came out of the blue. So this positivity was obviously went out there. And this woman came along and said, I'd like to buy it as a lifestyle business. And we were like, at first I was literally like, oh, I'm not sure. And
then it
was
like, you don't want to give up your business that you love.
Yeah. But then it was like, oh my God, it was like being in prison, having a shop and working that hard.
Yes, people say, yeah.
So, yes, we got out of there and it was like, hallelujah.
And you'd made money?
Not particularly, no.
But
we made it back.
You got out.
Yeah, we got out alive and not bankrupt.
Mm.
So that was all good. And then it was, I didn't know what to do next. And, you know, yes, again, it was sort of still nothing to do with nutrition. I did all sorts of different things, loads of part-time jobs. And then health and wellness company came along and I did a sort of part-time work with them. And it was literally like a light switch. It was like, you know, actually, whatever you're putting in is what you're going to get out. And that's when I just needed to find out more and more, and that's when we gave up sugar.
What do you mean we gave up sugar?
So my children were 13 now,
and
it was January, so it's literally 6 years ago now.
Mm.
And I said to them, this was long before anybody had even sort of thought about the sugar thing, but I was like, there is something not right with how I feel when I eat sugar. I said to them, should we just give it up for a month?
Why did they agree to it? Because children are usually like,
They're pretty open-minded. I've got a boy and a girl.
Were you still with your partner then?
Yeah. No,
so he gave up sugar too?
He gave up sugar.
Not the drink.
None of us really. I certainly didn't go, right, we're gonna cut out alcohol as well. Yeah. But I did say, let's just see whether we could, you know, do some food swaps.
Okay. So how did that appear in a child's diet, giving up sugar? How did that?
Well, my son...
What did you give them instead?
Well, we had... We went for more glucose-based sweeteners, which are a lot less sweet. So what it is a sort of weaning off, I suppose, of a fructose-based sugar. So something
what sort
like
of thing? Yeah.
So say you'd have normally you'd eat say honey or maple syrup or table sugar.
Yes.
So these are fructose-based sweeteners,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones that light up your brain. So okay. they're the things that go, oh my God, I've got to have some more.
Yeah.
So you know, half an hour later, you're thinking, shall I have a bowl of cereal? You know, whatever, and that you might have. You might have a mid-morning snack and you might have it in the afternoon. I was a terrible one for giving kids snacks, you know, although everything was like brown and, healthy in between. So we went to these sort of glucose-based...
Yeah, what are they?
Something like a dextrose. Mm. So if you were cooking a cake of some sort, you know, a carrot cake or whatever, you'd use something like dextrose,
but
which is a powdered...
But aren't they sweeteners?
They aren't. They're like a carbohydrate.
Okay.
So they're glucose, so they're recognised by the body straight off.
Okay.
So they're easily digestible sugars, and they don't light up your brain in the same way as fructose. Oh. So that was the point. What I needed was that we sort of started to cut back, and we weren't beholden
what
to
cereals
it.
What cereals and what would they have for breakfast?
We wouldn't have had anything like that, so we would have had, I don't know, you might have had toast and butter
Mom,
at this
or
point.
Or toast and
you know.
Toast and Marmite, toast and peanut butter.
Yeah, something like
non-sugary
that.
Non-sugary things, yeah.
If you had, you know, a liquid-based sweetener, then it would be something like rice syrup. So again, it's glucose-based, so it's a quicker, more digestible form of sugar.
Wow.
And because it's just less sweet, you just don't crave it the same.
Mm.
You don't crave it the same. So what it was a stepping stone to come away from eating quite so much. And just... Actually, just thinking about how much
fruit?
You consume.
Because I'd really find giving up fruit difficult because I really do like it.
Well, the good thing about fruit is, and although I would say, you know, your five a day is supposed to be, you know, some fruit and some vegetables, I would say just go for the vegetables and have fruit every now and again. Fruit's a complete package. So a fruit sugar in a whole fruit is the fructose is negated by the fibre in it.
Wow.
So it's a complete package. So if I'm eating an apple, that's going, the fructose element is going through my body and it's being digested with and absorbed by the fibre and taken through. It's not going straight to my liver. Whereas if I drank a glass of apple juice, before I finish the glass, it's being stored as fat in my liver.
Wow. Okay, so you give up juices then, do you?
Yeah, I mean, juice is literally like mainlining a sugar.
Okay.
And it's just being converted to fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still out there. That's
the trouble. I mean, it's all so interesting, but it's like, how do we know what to eat and what not to eat? That is the question.
Yes.
Gosh, I'm Shakespeare. How do we know?
Because you have to keep asking questions. Why would it be if we had been told to eat, you know, these low fat high sugar foods, really? Because if you take the fat out, then you're really left with a carbohydrate based food, aren't you? You know, people are saying, you know, eat your pasta, but you've got to have a low fat sauce with it, but it's still sugar. It's still got to go into your body, and your body's got to process it. It's going to store it as fat. But if you don't question it, then conventional wisdom, which has proven itself, doesn't work. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting fatter, sicker, you know, and having more problems, would we?
So as a treat, could I still eat my 70% dark chocolate?
See, now I would use a cacao powder and maybe put it with some rice syrup. But, you know, there are certain recipes that we've got that we would put together with it. I certainly, in our Happy People plan, no, chocolate isn't in there.
Wow. Wow.
Cacao is.
Okay.
So you have, you know, there are sweet things.
I find that the hardest thing, because my treat is twice a day, at least, when I'm sort of on healthy eating program, which I haven't been on the last 2 weeks because it's Christmas. I would allow myself two or three squares a day.
Yeah. We had people that obviously started the plan, and because we did the trials in 2018.
Yes, so tell us about happy eating, because you're going into it and the listener doesn't know what it is. Tell me what you've developed with lovely Katrina here.
Well, the fantastic thing is Katrina and I have met along the way via networking. It was Katrina actually that told me, you need to get a qualification in this because you're so passionate about it. Because she was there at the beginning when I started, when I gave up the sugar and was really, I needed everybody to know that actually, you know, my struggle with weight was nothing to do with eating less and moving more. It was the wrong advice. The wrong advice that we're all told. And it just kept making me think, why do people not know this?
And we don't know it because it's big food companies. Is that why? They are making money out of it.
Pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're quite happy to keep us sick and fat because
they're making money out of it.
They're making a load of money out of it.
And I really noticed the other day when I was in a supermarket around Christmas that a box of biscuits was $1.99 for a massive family box. And I thought, gosh, to think that the berries, I didn't buy it because I don't, but the berries I just bought were $2.99.
Well, that's it.
And it's like, that's a pound more. And people think berries or a box of biscuits, of course they're going to go for the box of biscuits.
But if you think you're investing in your future, aren't you, really? And our philosophy is that you either make time for health now or you make time to be ill later. You know, why would you have a treat now when somebody then has to treat you, i.e. your doctor, 5 years down the line, you know? But also, the point was we started to think properly and discuss the fact that people don't equate what they're eating with how they think.
Tell me about the, what's it called, the Happy...
Happy People.
Happy People. And it's a programme people can go on for 12 weeks, is that right?
It's a rolling programme, so you could pretty much be... It's a bit, you know, it's in the Slimming Club vein because it's a weekly meeting. Mm. But, you know, I mean, the best thing is there is no weighing scales. Mm. You know, it's not about that.
It's about
focus is
about
health.
Yeah.
The focus is health and being the best you can possibly
be. So this is obviously in your area, but what if people want to do it again? You know, people that want to do it, like, because I'm very interested in doing it, how could it work? Could you do it online or?
Yeah, there's going to be certain points. We're rolling it out to corporate companies. So we're going to be doing presentations. So a condensed version of the plan. Mm. We're also, going to be able to do webinars with people that can't, you know, get to the physical
meetings.
Yeah. Which
Fantastic.
Is, you know, and it's so early days. This year is the big push because we've done the trials.
Yeah, Katrina, can you tell me about the trials?
Well, the trials were absolutely amazing. I was fascinated because when I've been working as a therapist with people, I began to realise, you know, that their mental health and food was intrinsically linked. And so the symptoms we have of depression and anxiety are also the same symptoms we have if we're not eating the right food. I mean, which is extraordinary. So I wonder how many people...
For example?
Well, let's see. Tiredness, tearfulness, anxiety, fogginess in your head... all the things that you would associate with either depression, overeating, undereating, anger at yourself, sadness, all of these things go with what we're putting into our bodies. Because the brain, I think pretty much from a standing position every day, needs a good, I would say, between 500 and 600 calories to function. But that isn't like great news where you think, woohoo, I'm going out to eat a packet of Pringles right now. It literally means we need certain nutrition and minerals.
We need healthy fats. Vegetables.
Absolutely.
We do need a bit of carbs. We need for energy. Yeah, you can't... give them up.
No. Well, carbs are in all kinds of things anyway. Mm. But we need these things for our brains to actually function. You know, if our brain doesn't have the nutrients we need, we do display the symptoms of anxiety and depression to the point where we can actually become kind of delusional if we don't eat the right kind of things. And I see this time and time,
yeah,
time
and
time again.
Tell me about what these experiments, not experiments, what's the word you use?
Trials.
Trials you did on people and what the results and the stories.
They were quite extraordinary. We had all kinds of people came along and once they started...
What conditions?
Well, everything. General unhappiness, lethargy, they felt they were overweight. There were people with... we had one lady who kind of had eczema. We had a man who had terrible problems with his liver. We had another lady who had very bad... what did she have? Well, she couldn't smell anything.
Oh, she had asthma and all sorts of stuff.
I mean, there were so many mixed things.
Mm. Type 1 diabetic, type 2 diabetics.
Yes.
It was absolutely across the board. You couldn't have had a more mixed kind of bag. And we experimented. Like I said, a lot of people kept coming back after they tried it the first time. They wanted to come back over and over again. I suppose we had between about 60 people, though some of them were the same, that kept coming. That we did the trials on, and the results were extraordinary. People lost like this huge bloat they had. Sometimes in the beginning they wouldn't actually lose weight, but they'd lose this huge bloat, a kind of bloatation, somebody called it. And they would become happier, they would become more energized, their memories would be better. Mm. And in the beginning there's quite a shock, because we say to people, for 6 weeks or for 12 weeks, what we want you to do is just cut out this kind of food. And there's like...
What, sugar?
We're talking about sugar, processed food. Mm. We're talking about wheat. What else did we cut out?
It was pretty much just that it was unprocessed. So you did cook from scratch. And I think people maybe struggled initially and said, you know, well, I've got to cook everything.
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
I don't have the time.
No.
Yeah.
All brand? What are you saying? No all brand. Yeah. I'm very busy.
Yeah.
So what did you do for breakfast?
Well, that's another thing, because fasting is part of the program. Mm. So eating in a smaller amount, you know, a small amount of time, a smaller window.
Mm.
People are eating way too often. Mm. Your body is digesting stuff 24/7 because they're going, you know, eat little enough. It's not true.
Wow.
You know, breakfast... the most important meal of the day, actually it's not, because you are fully charged when you wake up, and that's the reason you wake up, hopefully naturally, but I mean, obviously a lot of us have to have the alarm, but usually you wake up fully charged, don't need plugging back in, like a phone. Once it's charged, you can actually use it, and so that energy gets used in the morning, and that's your best time to...
So you say you wouldn't, just have a hot lemon or something on herbal
tea? Well, you can certainly drink tea, coffee, but no, you wouldn't have anything, milk, you wouldn't have anything that was going to stop that fasting period. Mm. And that actually, right at the beginning, people were a bit like, I'm not sure, you know, I've always eaten breakfast. Mm. And that was the easiest thing to transition to. Mm. Well, people were like, God, I'm going to sort of 1 o'clock... lunchtime, and I haven't even thought about food, so it sort of frees you up in the day. A little bit similar. I mean, fasting is obviously
Could have like homemade soup, or you could have a baked potato.
What do you mean,
salmon.
Once you've...
No, this is lunch, you know.
You could the world is your oyster.
That
was the surprising thing. There were so many things that you could eat. And again, we worked with people's script, the not enough script, and we weren't cutting particularly anything out. We were looking at what they could eat. And it was quite funny, because, you know, people would have their partners that weren't on this eating program, and they'd say, well, you know, well, what do I do when my husband's eating a great big cheeseburger, which I want to eat? And so I said, you know what, just think about what they're putting in their body, the damage that it's actually doing to their body, and think, I'm glad I'm not them. And so that became the strap line.
Oh, come up with a story of all our relationships.
Yes. In all sorts of ways.
Exactly. So tell me a typical lunch. You tell me a typical lunch, when you tell me a typical supper.
Crumbs. I don't think I've
What would you have for lunch?
I would have would have.
What do you have? What, do you
it's
have?
Mostly,
what did you have yesterday?
I would say yesterday I had Turkish stew.
Yeah.
Turkish stew. So I had loads of Turkish stew. And again, the brilliant thing is there's no calorie counting, there's no portion control.
Turkish stew with rice or
no?
No rice.
So it is fairly low carb.
Yeah. See, I find without carbs, I am very, very bad tempered, especially if I do exercise.
But if you've got, you know, say the carrots and the veggies that were
in my
stew.
Wasn't enough for me. I literally really have found that this has, you know, happened to me. And as soon as I started putting brown rice, a piece of bread with my soup, a sweet potato in, I was so much better mood.
So what we would, somebody like you,
really
then we'd say quinoa.
Okay.
Quinoa or potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
Potatoes. Okay. So they were included.
Okay.
We'd just make people aware of an insulin spike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where your energy would dip because your body would have to try and cope with that insulin.
Because I cut out carbs completely and I was literally screaming.
Yeah, and I think certainly ours is not super low carb at all. Mm. And I think people were really
surprised. Last night I had turkey curry and I did brown and wild rice with it because I thought that, you know what I mean? So
I mean,
again, that
I would say we wouldn't use either of the rices. Whether it's brown or white, you still got a quite a high insulin.
So what would you have, sweet potato or?
Sweet potato or boiled potatoes or jack of potatoes, whatever
you fancy. Potatoes?
Oh, yeah, we'd have potatoes.
Quinoa.
Wow.
Quinoa is very, very popular.
Quinoa is very popular instead of rice.
Okay, so what would you have for supper? Tell me a supper.
Well, you see, I might exercise quite a lot too, whether it's the infamous dog walk or going to the gym or whatever it is. So I get this hunger and I'd go straight for steak. Steak, lentils, vegetables, and you can have the biggest portion. I've never felt that I was starving or not allowed something on any level, which is why I think it's become so successful. And although we didn't weigh ourselves, I would go to the gym at the start of each trial and I would go on the machine that measures fat and metabolism and all that kind of thing. And I watched my fat just disappear month after month doing the trial. And I found that I became much more alive and invigorated. The downside, if there is a downside, is when you stray afterwards, I find now
of course you do break it.
Of course,
you go to a dinner party, you go Christmas, you go
absolutely.
You know, weekends, something fun might be happening, and you just think, oh God, I'm going to have that lemon meringue pie.
But you know what I do find now, if I eat wheat or gluten, my tongue will start to swell. So I think what happens is we have poisoned ourselves little bit by little bit, kind of like the inverse of homeopathy. Mm. You know, because it's in a bad way, we poison ourselves, drip drip, poison ourselves the whole time. And then as your body becomes cleaner, now if I do eat wheat or gluten or that mince pie, my tongue starts to swell. So there's no denying it. You know, have you eaten wheat? However, the good news is we can still drink certain alcohols. I've never felt restricted in any way. And I think what happened...
So what, red wine and vodka?
Red wine, vodka, gin, champagne. You're in safe
Prosecco.
Hands.
Prosecco, we've got one person that lives on Prosecco, really.
Almost lives on Prosecco.
Okay. And people come, they become really alive and they start to cook and you fall in love with food all over again. That's what happens. And this invigorated life energy...
So have you two not had breakfast this morning then?
This morning I actually had banana and nuts on the train. What I might normally do, depending whether I've been to the gym or sometimes I start working at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I might come home and have bacon, egg, I would just anything that I want really, except I'll be staying away from toast and that kind of thing. Okay. No, I really eat. I love food. I absolutely love it. The interesting thing is now I love it more. Halloumi. Well, what did I do without knowing about halloumi? I never had halloumi before.
So tell us about the programme then that you devised for people. What is it?
So initially, as I say, it's fasting incorporated. So you've got a smaller amount of time to eat. So a 10-hour window, which is actually quite long, really, isn't it? So people might not eat until 10 in the morning and then they'd finish by 8. And they can eat two or three meals. We do tend to try and say to people, don't snack, because it's easy to just then fall into the trap of like thinking, oh, I'm just going to eat all day. It's great for your body to actually get to the point where it is hungry, and also that it's had time to repair, it's had time to digest. Then, yes, you might eat a nice big meal, then you're sated until the next meal. Wow. Because it's high fat, it really does keep you going in a in a better way than if you're, you know, if it's bread based, if you've had a sandwich by mid-afternoon, you need something else because you've taken a dip or a crash. You know, but the fact that we had, because we had this type 1 diabetic as well, it was a real eye-opener, because she was told to eat carbohydrate all the time and then test her blood sugar and then inject with insulin to counteract it. And because she was like, because I'm not eating, I don't need to inject myself. And when I eat, I'm eating, you know, so say she was eating a nut-based biscuit or something that we devised, it didn't spike. She went from 20 units of insulin a day to 5 in 2 weeks. We were like, what? You know, this is something you could roll out to the NHS. It wouldn't have to have so much medication.
So really what it should be is we should be having hubs all around the world, you know, country or, you know, America, Britain, all the places where the eating problems are, just teaching people how to eat.
That is 100% our mission, to just say to people, and people literally sort of wake up to it and go, I can't believe no one else knows that.
And we had the asthmatic that could suddenly smell again. Wow. After years and years and years. And, you know, Natasha was great. She was saying, right, you're cutting out the, you know, the dairy completely. And people will go, but no, I always have dairy or all bran or rice. And it, I was one of those ones that couldn't imagine drinking coffee without milk.
Yeah, was she crazy? A cappuccino, macchiato.
Amazing. Almond milk and coconut milk is the way forward now. But, I mean, it was extraordinary. And just the change in people, and one of the byproducts is people lose fat. They lose so much fat. And again, it's not something that you suddenly, you know, because it takes you time to lose. It's not the main aim. You don't become obsessed, you know, with calorie counting and all the negative things that can happen when you're in slimming clubs. There's huge support from others, and often posted on Facebook, there'll be, hey, I just made this, or I tried that, or have you done this? And there's a lot of support within the group. And like I said, some people started are on the trial one, they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go. Some of the people are so convinced in the eating program that they're actually training up to be trainers as well now.
Wow. So tell us, how do people contact you? How do they become trainers? How do they go on their course? How can, you know, corporates get involved?
So we've got, at the moment, just ourselves in, if you contact Wide Eyed Nutrition.
So what's your address? Wideeyednutrition.co.uk?
.com. So wideeyednutrition.com. My phone number is...
I'll just give your email address.
Righty-ho. Yeah. And if you wanted to speak to me directly, is natasha@wideeyednutrition.com.
Okay.
So get in touch, and then we can put you in the program. We're a work in progress.
What area are you for people listening in Britain?
We're Ipswich at the moment. We're rolling out the whole of Suffolk in the next 6 months.
Essex next.
And then Essex.
Wow. Yes, we're taking over the world.
Yeah. And then London for corporate well-being training courses that we'll be doing very shortly.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, both of you, coming on to Radio Gorgeous. And I must say, I'm going to have to give up that little... You see, I don't eat any milk apart from that little bit of milk in my decaf coffee once a day, which I'm going to have to stop now. Oh, you've really ruined my life. But hopefully, all the fat is going to dissolve.
You'll thank us later, Josephine.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Josephine.
It was great. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
It's an absolute pleasure. And for more fascinating women with more tips, hints, and how to live, go to radiogorgeous.com.